welcome to another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Michael Hivai, a world leader of the philosophy of truth and wisdom. How are you today, Michael?
Doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
It's our pleasure, and again, thank you for taking the time. To our audience, Michael is an international radio host, a poet, business and finance philosopher, and a wellness and healthy living speaker. His works can be found on numerous websites throughout the world, and he also regularly writes for SeekingAlpha.com, a leading financial website, and PositiveHealth.com, the UK's leading alternative health magazine. Now, without further delay, Michael, let's just get into today's podcast. And my first question for you is, after having looked at your website and in our previous conversations before the recording, I saw that you, a very well-established author, what inspired you to write books?
Well, I'm from Manchester, England, and now I live in Florida. I retired when I was 46 years of age from the business world very successfully. I had a wholesale textile corporation that I founded when I was 19 years of age, starting on the street markets of England with £100, eventually built it all up. And when it came for time to retire, I thought, well, you know, it's not a bad idea to go to the States. I was going there for like a month at a time anyway in the winter. So once I got here, I needed to find out really why I've come, because it's not just to play golf and bridge and hang out at 46. I knew there was something else that was sent me out here, but I didn't know what it was. So I took 6 years of time out, trying to work out the meaning of life, my meaning of life. No idea I was going to write or do anything about it. I just wanted answers for myself. Why? I've always been classed as somebody stupid. I left school at 16, so I've had no formal education. And throughout the business world, everybody says it's impossible for you to succeed. And the more they said that, the more success I was getting. And I didn't know why. It was just happening. So I needed answers. I needed to find out why the stupidity worked in mine. And after the 6 years, I'd come to many conclusions. I then bought a computer, started to research a little bit from the past sages, whether it be Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, and modern day, whether it's Carl Sagan, Einstein, what did Jesus say, Buddha. And eventually I've come to the conclusion that I'd built a bridge between religion and science. And I didn't know what to do with it. So one side of me said, why don't you write it down? And the other side of me said, you can't write, you can't spell, forget it. So that went on for another 6 months, the dichotomy of should I do it or shouldn't I do it? And then eventually I said, well, okay, I'll do it, provided I made myself a vow. I never get involved with fame or fortune. I don't want money from my books. I've written 14 books and I'm not interested in promoting them, PR or anything. I like to do promotions like this, if you will, do an interview one-to-one. And this is not rehearsed, as you know. I don't get questions beforehand. Yes. And I just want it to be natural. So that was what it was that drove me to find. It was actually a quest to find out the truth of who I really am. And it didn't come from any other books. It came from the source that I write about.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. And again, for our audience, it is actually true. We did not rehearse absolutely anything prior to this episode. And it was actually very exciting for me as well to be able to just talk with you without any actual prior preparation in terms of questions or anything else. But going back to what you said earlier, that you started your, let's say, entrepreneurial career quite young. And it's something that you've built up over the years. Do you have any tips for young people today who are trying to take off their career, you know, what they're thinking, whether or not they should go to university, any form of higher education and the likes? Is there anything that perhaps you can share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good question. Well, the thing about the dichotomy, university or not, it's not nearly necessary. But if you want to do it, fine, it gives you a degree. But there's lots of people here in the States who've got degrees and the flipping burgers in the burger joints. Education is a tool. And if you use the tool correctly with intelligence, then you can expand your career and you can become a world beater. Everybody has a genius that they're born with. Everybody's born with a genius. And if you allow that genius to work in your favor, then success will speak for itself by results that you get, not by what you say or what you do. It's what the results you're going to get from what you do. Because we can all try and do something, but not everybody's going to succeed at it because they're not going down the route that they're meant to go down. They're fighting against their own powers, basically. And most people are doing that today. What we've got in society today is a mirror image of how it really, really is. So what we do, we put the cart before the horse and expect the horse to push the cart instead of pull it. And it can't do that. And what I mean by that is we use our intellect, fed by our ego, to guide our life and try and use our intelligence from intellect. So you get an education, you hide behind your education, and your intelligence isn't working for you. It's trying to be pulled along by your intellect, what you've learned. Instead, your intelligence has got to pull you along. It's got to be your leader. So if you use your born intelligence to guide what you've learned through your education, then you'll find the results will be far greater than what you now know. Because, like I said, most people are doing it back to front. They're doing it by what they've learned, and they can't break out of that mold. It's harder for professionals if you're a doctor or you're a teacher. You're in a system, and when you're in that type of a system, the rules and regulations on it are very restrictive to come out and bring the authenticity of who you are. But there's two things in life that we need for success in life. One is authentic thought, and authentic thought doesn't come from education. It doesn't come from what we know. It comes from a universal flow of energy, and that's part of our identity of who we are. And that contains truth and wisdom. And without truth and wisdom, then we have to rely on our belief systems. And the word belief has three little letters in the middle, LIE, and it's a perspective of how life experiences that's built up these beliefs. But that's very, very limiting. It's very limited. So if you're living a limited life, now some people might gain money by doing that, but might ruin their health at the same time. And also, they might not get the same amount of joy while they're doing it as they're entitled to get. So my philosophy, basically, for success means perfect health throughout your life, and it gets better as you get older. It doesn't depreciate, it gets better. Health can improve throughout your life. Health is a choice. And then if you've got your health, then you can earn more money, and I make money on the stock market and investments now. And the third leg of it is living in joy every second of your life on earth. Because love and joy are partnerships, and that's our true identity. That's the energy of the intelligence that flows through us.
Right. Very interesting indeed. And what really struck out for me is that the sort of step-by-step explanation that you gave of the process of using our intelligence. And one thing that really stuck out for me was that when it comes to getting the sort of right education per se and everything that is expected of us in society, whether it is for young people or for professionals, as you say, I think the one thing that really sticks out for me is the prospect of failure and the fact that I think for most people it is something very daunting. They don't want to fail in whatever it is they are doing. How do you think we can deal with this potential looming danger of failing? Can we use it to our advantage? Can we use it to improve ourselves? Or do we learn from it as we get older, perhaps?
Well, we're all going to make mistakes. Nobody's immune from mistakes. That's part of our learning process early on. And as we gain more experience, then we make less mistakes, but we're still going to make mistakes. But the word failure and the fear of failure, basically, it does boil down to the fear of it. It's not the failure itself, because with failure gives you the experience to try again. It's the fear of having the failure. And that fear just isn't in the failure of succeeding in our jobs or whatever we're doing. That fear brings on stress. Now, if you go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, they say, well, we can manage stress and certain amount of stress is good for you. Well, in my philosophy, you need to eliminate stress. And most people say, well, you can't eliminate stress. Well, you can't if you only live with the perspectives of your belief systems that you've grown up with in your life experiences. It's impossible to eliminate stress. But when you find your true identity of who you really are, and that's one of the real reasons why I started to write this stuff down. And the last three books that I wrote, one is called The Joys of Life Alchemy. The other one is Cutting Truths. And the third one, which is a recent one, is Well, 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 Eat Well, Think Well, Live Well. And that contains a meditation at the end of it. There's these metaphysical poems that can put a person to connect to themselves through that. Once we start to understand the true identity, then it's very simple to eliminate stress, because it's like it can't stick to anything, because we are no thing. We're no thing that contains everything that we need to live a human existence. What interferes with that is our ego, E-G-O. And because ego means he's God out, and however you want to define God, my definition of God isn't a religious definition. It's a universal energy that contains the intelligence of creating and evolving all things. So once we start to envisage that intelligence and we connect to it, like we're connecting now, I'm in America, you're in London, I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
So we're connecting with different sides of the world. But look at the technology that's connecting us now. It's an amazing connection, right? We're actually flying through space to each other. Your voice and my voice is flying through space, through cyberspace. Now, if we take that a step further and think about our thoughts, where do authentic thoughts come from? Because they have to have a source. And that source has been around forever. A lot longer than human beings have been on Earth, that's for sure. So we're just part of this process. If we try and pigeonhole it into labeling and just use those labels to try and disguise something, you get your connection cut off. And once you're cut off, you can't have this conversation and you can't give the message out to other people. So we need to keep our minds open so we can receive authentic thought from a source outside the educational field that comes to us maybe in the middle of the night, early morning, during the daytime. You get thought. If you don't jot it down right away, you might forget it. So have a little pad with you throughout the day and maybe just jot it down. And keep these thoughts with you throughout your lifetime so that each thought that comes in, while you're running a business, while you're starting off in a business, you need authentic thought to make your business different to anybody else's. Because if you make it the same as everybody else, then you're just somebody else out on the internet. You're somebody else who is going to do something, open a shop or whatever. But if you use your genius within you, which is unique to you, and you use the brilliance within that to differentiate yourself from other people, then you welcome the failures. You look forward to the failures. But you know what? When you're looking forward to failures, and failure sometimes can be a bully that puts fear in people, when you're looking forward to it, you're not going to get it. You won't fail because you don't understand what the word fail means. You might not get to the point you need to be at that moment in time, but you'll regroup and find another way round the maze or the gatekeepers that are keeping you out. Now, once you start to understand that, then failure will never come into your life ever again, because you're here to enjoy every experience. And if you're enjoying it, even if you don't get your result right away, you've not failed because you're still enjoying it. Joy is paramount. And that's all you really have in your life while you're living. It's not the amount of money that you make. It's not the bank balance, because nobody can take anything with them. But the richest place on earth is in the cemetery, because most people have died with the treasures locked inside them. They've not allowed that talent to flow through naturally.
Right, and of course, if I'm not mistaken, and please do correct me if I am, as Aristotle did say, joy and happiness are absolutely central at the core of every human being. We all desire to get to that stage where we are quite content with ourselves and everything around us. Now, moving forward, what really struck me as quite interesting is that in order to find our authenticity, in a way, we come through many barriers, and we did talk about failure. But do you think that perhaps as someone who has now seen a lot of different generations come into society, you know, struggle with failure, struggle with obtaining success, do you think that anything has particularly changed in today's culture, whether it's relating to business or personal life, that's keeping people away from achieving their authenticity?
Well, yes, absolutely. We're in a high-tech age, and there's so many distractions that kids growing up today with the games they're playing and their cell phones. People have got cell phones stuck through their ears. For me, I have a cell phone with me for emergencies only. If I'm out, I don't want to be connected to anybody. If I'm going shopping or whatever, I'm driving or whatever I want to be doing, I don't see the need for it. Bad news will keep, or bad good news will keep till I go home. And if I'm out, I want to focus on what I'm doing during the daytime. So as regards distractions in a modern day world, but there's always been distractions. Well, as regards change and the different generations, I don't think I've changed since I've been 6 years of age. I've still got the child within, and that child within is looking to play. When I was working in, once I left school at 16, I told the teacher I'd have a Rolls Royce by the time I was 26. Well, I didn't quite, and I was the poorest kid in the class, I had holes in my shoes. I didn't quite make it at 26. I had my first Rolls Royce at 28. So I was 2 years out with that prediction. But that's why I needed to find out all this crazy stuff that I was talking about as a kid. How could I ever make it come true? When I was 13, I did a composition for school. They said, how do you see yourself when you were 30? I've still got the composition book, funny enough. And they said, well, on one side, I see myself as a playboy going to America. On the other side, I see myself as married with two children. Well, I was married with two children before I was 21. And we ended up in America, not my first wife, with my second wife. And but things work out in a way that when you're younger and you have the dreams, you don't allow them to diminish. You allow them to expand inside your psyche of your subconscious mind. Don't restrict your subconscious brain by plugging up your conscious brain all day long with all the clutter that's coming in from the media, from all the news that's coming in, with all the advertising. You know, we're being targeted all the time with so many ads, whether you're on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you are today. You're going to face a lot of, not so much on Twitter actually yet, but it's coming on there too. But you're faced with so much stuff being thrown at you all the time, trying to get you to digest it. And again, that builds up stress in people. But if you're in your bubble wrap of the truth of who you are, your authentic self, playing the roles during the daytime, and the way we can describe it is, if you see a circle, there's a circle, and each circle has 360 degrees. Well, there's 361 degrees. I have a little haiku, it's called Circle, the 361 degree, the mystic point. So if you see the 360 degrees of a circle, the 361 degrees is you're in the center of it. You're that extra 1 degree. And all those spokes of the wheel go to the surface of the wheel. But you're in the hub. You're living your life in the hub. So on the surface, all these spokes are speaking on the surface in the different roles they're playing throughout the day and indeed throughout a lifetime. If you're in the center and you've got central control over it, and whatever's going on the surface can't come back and hit you in the center. So all the stress that's going on in the center that we see and experience every day isn't coming into our core. So if it's not coming into the core, it isn't going to affect our immune system. It isn't going to affect our central nervous system. We're going to stay healthy because we have a control center within us that doesn't buy in to all the fluff and all the shams that go on the surface.
Absolutely. And moving forward, let's talk a bit about philosophy, because that's something that we mentioned in the beginning of the podcast. And what really surprised me was that you mentioned a very broad range of philosophers throughout the ages, from ancient Greece to more modern times. What fascinated you with philosophy, and why did you decide to pursue all this knowledge and not focus on, let's say, one particular era, for example?
Of the conclusions that I'd come to were ageless, because they were saying the same things in their day in a different way than I'm saying them today. So none of this philosophy, wait, and then using the word philosophy again is not just another label.
Right.
Philosophy means search for truth. That's all philosophy is. You're searching for the truth all the time. So these philosophers of the past, the ancient ones, I needed confirmation of the conclusions that I've come to were valid. Because if I was just taking my word for it, then it would be binding to another belief system that I might think is right. But nothing's validifying it. I got no validity from it. And then what I needed to do is find out from people how verifying it is. So I did 15 cruises as a keynote speaker to a mixed audience, and I did it on cruise ships because if you do it at an audience or you go around different places, you're just doing it to a people who are coming in and they're already kind of buying into what you're going to be saying anyway. But they're looking for some spiritual fix or some philosophy fix. But on a cruise ship, people come from all over the world, and you don't know what kind of audience you're going to get. And indeed, that's what happened. People from every walk of life would come into the talks and they became fascinated by what they heard. And this is in my early days when nothing was prepared, as you know, and I just spoke from the heart how I felt and the conclusions that I've come to. And I says, I really need to be verifying it. Let me know how bad it is and tell me why I'm going wrong. And in nearly every case, people came to me and said, I never expected to hear what I was hearing on this cruise today. I want to thank you so much. Whether it be a biochemist from Princeton, a janitor from New York, a musician from Australia, a priest from Boston, it was such a mixed audience, and the response was so amazing that that's when I started to think, you know what, then I can expand the few. And at that time, I'd only written three small books. So I thought, well, you know what, I'll start to expand that now and go into it a little bit more detail. So I wrote a book called Invest with a Genius, which was about the stock market and investments, which I've done all my life for 50 years successfully. And that was republished again in 2010. And then the other books followed, this last trilogy of books. And with each one, the philosophy expanded itself. It was nothing I needed to actually work on, because it's like just dropping into place, like having a jigsaw puzzle, and your hand is guided to each piece, and it's put in place for you without you thinking about it. And that's what happened with the poetry too, the metaphysical poetry that came in at 4:30 in the morning, and then in a sleep-like mindset, I would just get up and scribble it down, and in the morning there it was, and it was never changed. So it came in the middle of the night, basically, those metaphysical poems. There's five of them in that book, Well, 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 Eat Well, Think Well, Live Well. And when I did some meditations with that on the cruise ship, I found the people who actually allow themselves the grace to go into the what you call the transition of the words, they came out and said, I've never felt so serene, so close to what I've been looking for all my life. So once I got that type of feedback from people, I thought, well, there's no need to keep doing that anymore. It's already been verified from this cross section. I'll just continue on and allow the media to continue to ignore me, which they do. And because I'm like a square peg in a round hole. And you know, you're speaking truth today, it's not really required in what you would call mainstream media. It's kind of poo-pooed because I was part of the journalist society. And what you're taught as a journalist, or I try to teach you, is try and make a story interesting.
Right.
But there's an old Chinese curse, and it goes, may you live an interesting life. So everything that you're reading in the media today is hyped up, and you've got all this interesting stuff that is stressing people out.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I don't think anyone can deny that the buzz that we constantly are surrounded by can absolutely have quite a negative effect on us overall. And my last question, Michael, is the one that I ask all of the guests on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
Well, it's a good question. I've never actually read a book in my life. That's true.
It could be anything. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be a book.
Well, I read my own books. If I'm going to read something, I'll pick a page out sometimes and find more meaning in it than I actually intended. So it reinvigorates my mind to write something else. I suppose I read the headlines early in the morning on AOL and on Microsoft Edge. There's the headlines that come up every morning. If I find an interesting new scientific discovery, I'm always interested in looking at that. If there's new information on new alternative ways of keeping yourself healthy, I continue to research that all the time. My wife does that more than I do. So if there's an easier way to, what you call age gracefully, I'm 72 now, I don't take any medications. I don't need for it. You only need medication if you think you're going to get sick. And most people believe they're going to get sick because everybody else is getting sick around them.
A self-fulfilling prophecy, one might say.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, absolutely. So it's like people will say, what you're saying is a load of rubbish. I don't believe in any of what you're saying. And I'll say to them, you're 100% correct. For you, you don't need to believe it because you're never going to believe it and you can't live it. So what is impossible for one person is simple for another person to live because those people have already said it's impossible. You can't do that. And that's getting back to the failure bit that you were talking about before. Go for the big dream. Don't dream small. Dream big and go for those big dreams. Those dreams are sent to you to encourage you, and they come from a source that's been around forever. Don't ignore the big dreams. My granddaughter, actually, I'll tell you to finish up on these two things because these are two good stories.
No, absolutely.
My grandson went to Cambridge, and he's into maths, further maths, and physics. He's kind of he's a genius in that field. And he's expanding. He was in Edinburgh for a while, and then I was in London doing business consultancy for a company. So he went through that process of education. My granddaughter would have gone to Cambridge too. She went to the top girls' school in England, basically, which is in Manchester. But I bought her a guitar when she was 14. And now she's fallen in love with music. Her name is Jen M, J-E-N-E-M. She's on YouTube. But she went to a college in Manchester for a year, which is run by the educational department, called BIM. And now, I really didn't want her to do this, but she wanted to do it. She's gone to Leeds Conservatoire, and she's picking up on music there. But she's going there with the understanding, knowing it's only a tool, that's not her talent. You're not going to find talent in a university. She's taking her talent with her. She goes out in the street busking. And here's somebody who got 10 A-star O-levels at 16, but walked away from the educational side of it, the academic side, and she's gone plowing into it, and she doesn't know what the future's going to hold in store for her. And you know how difficult it is today to write pop music, and she's a singer-songwriter, but she doesn't understand what failure is. She'll go out and sing in the streets when the wind's blowing, and hair's all over the place, it could be raining, and she'll keep singing, and she'll keep doing what she needs to do, because she's in love with the music, and there's a secret.
Right, Right, and as they always say, whether you think you can or you cannot, it's probably true. I think it's a very good way to summarize. And with that, thank you very much for joining us today, Michael. And of course, for our audience, if you would like to find out more about Michael and his work, all relevant links will be in the description below, where you can get more information about his books and everything else that he does. And you can, of course, visit www.pointoflife.com, which is Michael's website, for further information. So once again, thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure, Mauro, and any time I'm open to you for anything you want to talk to me about. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Perfect, perfect. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Lit Radio.